This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The world mourned on June 3rd as the news of Muhammad Ali's death spread. Ali, widely regarded as the greatest boxing champion the world has ever known, left behind a powerful legacy of defiance, rebellion, and moral clarity. In her obituary of Muhammad Ali, printed in the New York Times, Joyce Carol Oates wrote, quote, "He, quote, would not be the white man's Negro. He would not be anything of the white man's at all. Ali converted to Islam at a very young age. He refused to fight in the white man's war, quote unquote, in Vietnam. And in doing so, earned the ire of war hawks in the US, but also legions of admirers and fans the world over. He was just as much a champion off the boxing stage as he was on it, applying his political analysis and lending his name to many causes. Ali lived with Parkinson's disease for many years before dying at the age of 74. His voice is preserved in the Pacifica Radio Archives, and today we pay tribute to Muhammad Ali through his own words. Here is an excerpt of an interview that Julius Lester did with Ali in 1968, when Muhammad Ali was deeply influenced by the Nation of Islam and the idea of black separatism.
What sort of response do you get from white colleges and black colleges?
Well, it's just beautiful. Great. The people just come just by the thousands, just grabbing me and chasing me. And mainly these college students of white, they all are with me on my belief on war, mainly Vietnam, and they all are rebelling now and fighting. And number one, this is why so many of the white colleges want me there, is because of my stand on draft and religious convictions and not taking a stand and not selling out Uncle Tom. And this really gets you a lot of respect, because many people make protesters and say what they're gonna do, but at the last minute they back out, mainly our people when it come to bucking white people. And my stand in this is making me much, much greater than I ever could being a boxer.
Do you find that black students are responding to the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Yes, sir. All the black students, they have their own Muslim meetings. They don't call them Muslim meetings, but they are. They don't allow no whites in the meetings now. And all of this is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they read the Muhammad Speaks newspapers. They call each other black now. They call each other brother. They call each other sister. He's been preaching this for the past now 38 years, but they don't follow him all the way. They don't want to follow him spiritually and divinely. They for an example, you see the brother on the campus with his afro, with his African robe, and his dakidi and his beads and his sandals, but his white girl in his arm. So he's half black. If he was all the way black, he would have him a black girl to go along with his afro and his African robe and dakidi. Then you'll see the sister with her afro and her dakidi and her beads and her sandals and her mini miniskirt on. See, she's African from waist up, but twiggy from hips down. So she's half African and half English. So our people are not criticizing them. We cannot criticize a baby. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us who starts trying to talk. At least he's trying. And our people are starting to think in the way of black, but they're not yet all the way with the right man. But gradually they're coming more to the Muslim program daily. Everything that's designed, we clean, must build, get our own businesses. They're arguing about they want their own businesses. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. At the latest Black Power rally, they said, we want separate states, want our own states. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And they called the white man the devil and all that. That's the beast. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Everybody today talking back or preaching black, any black movement, check him out. He's an ex-Muslim. He was influenced by one of the ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He sneaks and read the Muhammad Speaks newspaper. They steal his program and go out and act like they just thought up something. And everything that our people are preaching and talking today, if any of our leaders hold any type of an audience, you'll find out that they're talking Muslim talk, but they just won't give the credit to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So this is just what we, answering your question about the black colleges, All of them know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Every black man today, you find him and say, As-salamu alaykum. He'll say, wa alaykum salam. For the first time, he's speaking his own language. You hear names like Hassan and Omar and Akbar and Ahad and Ishmael and all kind of names today. All this comes to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the only leader for us today, the only man for us today who has the key to free us from these evil, wicked slave masters is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, people are waking up to it daily and answering your question on the college campuses. They don't outright follow him, but they do take half of his program and use it to suit their needs. But in a few days, they'll soon be glad to accept all of him. As we were following and trying to be like white people, now we seem to be going to the jungles to look like the people in the jungles. Well, Sudanesians, Africans. You don't have to have thick lips and flat nose and a big woolly nappy head to be a black. Smoking on the white man's cigarette, smoking the white man's reefers, walking around with signs hollering, I'm black and I'm proud and I'm black and I'm beautiful. The white man don't walk around with signs saying he's white and beautiful and he's white and proud. He just acted and living so until he's got us now wanting to be white and like him. So if we really believe black was best and really was black and really believe black was beautiful, we don't have to go around trying to convince the world with big old signs on our back, I'm black and I'm beautiful. I'm black and I'm proud. If we are, we are. Be it enacted.
A lot of folks would say that a lot has been taken away from you, that because you can't earn a living, because you could be a millionaire many times over, that you've lost a whole lot.
Yes, this is a man. Negroes have been made like white people. And many of them say, champ, you know something? You got a right to believe what you want and all this and all that, but what about the money? This is our trouble today. All Negro, so-called Negroes worry about is money. He's like the white man now. He'll blow up his mama for some money and sell out his people for some money. That's why we're nowhere today, because all the big Negroes with some money is up on the hill with the white folks, riding with the white folks, going to church with the white folks, marrying the white folks, shuffling and tomming and loving white folks, and they forget all about the brother down there in Harlem, his rent's due, living in a bad home, standing on the corner, nobody know him, nobody want him, and he rides by in his limousine. Well, let them niggas make it like me. I can't take no chance on losing my money. Once we become followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the flesh and the blood of our people is more important than the white man's money. Money don't mean nothing if you're black to the white man. I don't care if you can buy a $500 house or a $500,000 house, you still a nigga. Adam Clayton Powell, a big black man, bumped him off in your face unjustly. Martin Luther King, a big black man, bumped him off in your face unjustly. Muhammad Ali, the biggest black man in all history of boxing, bumped me off unjustly in your face. So excuse expression, money ain't worth a damn thing when it comes to wanting to be a man. And I'm proud to say that I'm the first black man in the history of all America, athlete and entertainer-wise, who gave up all the white man's money, looked a white man in his eye and told him the truth and stayed with his people. This is much greater than being in Sweden like Floyd Patterson or somebody with a white woman, never coming through Harlem to see his people, and many more of these Uncle Tom niggas. And I'm just so happy. I go to bed happy. I wake up happy. And I'll go to jail for 10 years happy. And it'll always be said, there's one that didn't compromise. See, there are only two kind of men, those who compromise and those who take a stand. Those who take a stand are the ones who they write history about. These are the ones movies are made about. John Glenn was the first man to go into space, white man. They go into space every day now, but John Glenn was the one who dared to dare. He conquered it first. John Glenn will go down in history. Columbus was the first man to go around the world. They said the world is square, but Columbus ran around the first time. This doctor over in South Africa was the first one lately to transplant hearts. A black man did it in Chicago 100 years ago or so, but they don't tell you nothing about it. But he was the first one made known to the world. this doctor in South Africa. Now they transplant hearts every day, but that doctor will always go down. His statue will be there in history, you understand? So they'll have to say that I'm the first black man that took a stand and didn't get weak and go back. Now, many of our people make protests and say they're going to boycott and they're going to do this and do that. And then when the white man put the pressure on them, they back up. But I'm one who I hope and pray to Allah and his messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that I be one black man that they can look at and say, he never had a white woman, never chased a white woman, turned down all $10 million in commercials, royalties, turned down the world heavyweight title. Where is he at? There he is over there sitting on the garbage can with the wine heads. He don't have to be over there. There he is talking to the prostitute. There he is picking up the brother out of the alley, taking him to the Muslim temple. There he is selling a prostitute a Muslim newspaper. Ain't that something? He really don't have to do it. See, they have to look at me now greater than just in a boxing ring. Good fight, boy. White man got all the money. Two Negroes cut each other up. They can't talk. And he pat him on the back. Good fight, boy. Great fight, boy. Good show, boy. Good dancing, boy. Good show, boy. Huh? But they can't look at me like that. See, I get all respect because I follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You may not like Rap Brown or Stokely Carmichael, but they get more respect than the richest Negroes in America, the most white folks loving Negroes in America. When Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael walk down the tree, traffic stops. Rap Brown, where? There he is. Stokely Carmichael, where? White folks jumping out of windows, looking at him, wanting to touch him. They admire warriors because they are warriors. They believe in dying and fighting for what they believe. They're giving up $90 million a day in Vietnam and the guts of their children for a principle. They died and fought the Indians. Money don't mean nothing when your people are free and hungry and catching hell. So all of these so-called Negroes listen to this show. I hope you learned something from this. Damn some money when it comes to your mama's freedom. You're so quick to go to Vietnam and fight and shoot and kill somebody you don't know, fighting so they can be free, and you come home and you get your head busted. So if I gotta die, if I gotta sacrifice, if I gotta suffer, let it be for my black brothers and sisters. Let it be for my mama and not somebody 10,000 miles from here. So when you understand what I'm saying, when you weigh it out, if it means money or time, damn the money.
You've been listening to an interview given by Muhammad Ali to Julius Lester in 1968, courtesy of the Pacifica Radio Archives. You can visit www.pacificaradioarchives.org to order a copy of this program. Muhammad Ali died on June 3rd at the age of 74. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.